On that note, hey everybody, welcome to episode 170.
Hold on.
Stop, there's no do-overs, Robin. This is live. It's happening. We're doing it live.
Jesus Christ, like counting it in. Like, one, two, we're going now. Yeah, I'm going to edit this out and post and put the music in.
This ain't getting edited out.
It is happening.
Hank, top is bringing on us.
I was just saying that my eyes were really itchy. Right, you can start now, Greg.
Well, gee, thank you, Robin. Yes, episode 370 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4T.com community. That means we can buy beer. It's May 14th, 2016. I am one of the hosts today, although you probably can't tell by the start of this episode. My name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Apparently captaining the chair for this podcast is Mr. Robin Tate.
Hey, that's me. That's here, Robin Tate in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. Good evening, and how are yous? Welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast. Episode something by someone somewhere for you guys out there in the ether. You'll get me on Twitter at Bongo the Scene, on Xbox Live at Bongo the Scene. It's been 3 weeks since I have been on here to confess, and I have much to confess on this week's episode of the Overseas Connection.
You have a lot to confess for, I tell you. I just realized there's like no light in this room right now, so I'm trying to open up a little lighting.
Yeah, just open
not
your
so.
Yeah, that's it. Oh my God, it's Kiv.
Also on the podcast, we have Kim Woods.
Howdy, everybody. How the hell are you?
Fantastic. Can't you not tell?
Well, you're always fantastic, you know.
Not true. Not true at all. Also on the show this week, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Mark Hannix on Twitter, Xbox Live, and PSN. Glad to be back again.
Awesome to have you on the show. Yeah. By the way, those tuning into the podcast via audio, you can also
join. Hello, Greg.
Join.
Hello, everyone. Mechanics
on shit.
This is why we prepare.
Yeah,
awesome to have you on the show.
Robin.
By the way, those
Robin,
into
3 weeks.
Like I said,
three
seriously.
Weeks, and you've turned into a complete amateur.
It
makes me look good.
So, yeah, you know, I'm going to go back to the start of the show. If you want to tune into the show live and hear all of this happening as it's happening, because let's face it, we're doing it live. You know, there's no pulling punches here. There's no trying to edit this stuff out. You'll get it on the audio podcast, but there's video to go with this. So you are happy and welcome to join in every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. UK. I believe that's the current time. And we try to keep that fairly consistent. Who knows? Maybe down the road we'll switch things up. But for now, that's our calling card. That's when we're on. And, of course, you can catch us on YouTube so you can see the replay. But, again, nothing is quite as exciting as being here in the chat in the moment when things are going all cattywampus, just as they did. Thank you, Robin Tate, for proving what happens on live TV, live YouTube, Twitch.
Going what? Cattywampus?
Cattywampus. Have you never heard cattywampus?
What the hell is that? No.
Think of it. Everything went tits up. You know, it just went to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. So there you go. Cattywampus. It's an Americanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
indeed.
don't be pointing fingers and giving me strange looks there, Mr. Marcanix. All right. Well, we are a video game podcast. We talk about video games. That's kind of the core of what we do here. But of course, we just talk about life in general. You know, there's lots outside of video games that happen. Robin today, very exciting. He shot some pictures, sent them off to us. He was out with his son eating ice cream. That was the highlight of his day. Robin, tell us, it was, by the way, a little disappointed in the flavor choice because it was vanilla. Could you be any
more? No, it wasn't. No. It was an ice cream van, and it was like pure shit. The only thing I could say about that ice cream that out of that van was that it was cold, but it didn't matter because it was cold anyway. We were at the Northwest 200, one of the fastest public roads motorcycle races in the world today. The fastest speed trap time today was 209.6 miles per hour on a road no wider than two cars. And they were going 4 and 5 abreast down this, slipstreaming. Unbelievable. Wow. My family's been involved in road racing for many a year. I used to race motorbikes myself, motocross, for a long time. Sadly, it ended in a damper. It is a very, very dangerous sport, and a young chap did lose his life today, and the racing was cut short. But up to that point, it was very, very thrilling. It was very, very good.
Robin, may I ask, what is the top speed you've ever, like, documented yourself going?
In a car.
In a car or on a bike? Can you admit this publicly?
In a car, probably about 155.
Okay, wow, that's up there.
And a very big, fast Mercedes Benz. And I could see the petrol gauge just going. It was unbelievable. That's a long time ago. I was probably only 21, 22, and my boss gave me his very big sporty Merc for the day because my car wasn't getting serviced.
Right.
And I, sorry about that.
Right. Yeah. And so your boss was like, I gave you the car for 10 minutes and you brought it back and the fuel tank was empty.
But I've had my current car probably up to about 130.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think I've done like 120. I think that's about where I've capped out at.
Yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, the road gets sort of thin.
Years ago, I had a Peugeot 405 GTI. I loved that car. 125 out of that.
All right. Kim?
What was that?
I'm the weenie of the bunch. 70.
Wait. 70.
Yeah, big 70, yeah.
So, Kim, here's the funny thing. In California, we actually have some highways where the speed, the posted speed limit is 70. Mm-hmm. So, basically, you have never gone faster than our fastest highway.
Tickets are expensive.
70, they are.
It's 70 in the UK.
So, yeah.
Speed kills. Yeah. It's no joke. On the 1st of June... Mr. Tate here is off to a speed awareness course to avoid getting points on his license. Because I was caught doing a massive 36 miles an hour in a 30 zone, and the bastards got me.
So now, so they make you actually go to the awareness course, or do you have the option of taking it online, which is a fantastically stupid thing that they have here?
No, they put you in a hotel room from 8 in the morning until 12 in the day.
Is that at your expense, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
And so you have to pay for this. It's double the cost of the fine, but you don't take the points. Now, it only applies to you if – you haven't been really bad.
Right.
If I was doing 60 and a 30, you wouldn't have been offered that. You would have been straight away.
So let me paint a different picture for you. This is a similar setup out here in California, and I'm assuming this is the same for you, Kim, in Missouri, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Always making sure. I put you like in different states every other week, by the way. Because literally just last week, again, I was thinking you were in Colorado. I'm like, no, she's not in Colorado.
Not in Colorado.
Anyway, so you get a ticket here in the U.S. And to avoid getting a point onto your license, assuming it's a moving violation, that's, parking tickets won't count against you. But a moving violation, you have the option of taking driver school. However, they have – come up with this brilliant idea that driver school can be an online course that you just take online.
Anyone can do for you.
Yes. And my wife proved that point when she got the ticket and then promptly told me I had to take the driver's license stuff because I work from home on my computer. So I completed the course for her in a day, and it would have taken her easily, the full week to do it if she had to.
Americans are so modern.
It's kind of ridiculous. If you ask
Hey, do you know who's in town?
I do not.
No.
No? Do you know who's what spaceship is about an hour and a half away from me, being built at this moment in time spaceship. On the top of a cliff. Yeah. The Millennium Falcon is being built in the north tip of Ireland.
All right.
And the whole cast and crew, Mark and all his buddies, are in Belfast right now because they're using the Game of Thrones soundstage to record new Star Wars. So they're being spotted. They're being spotted all over Northern Ireland at the moment.
I hope nobody loses their head.
So the Millennium Falcon has been built on a place called Malin Head, which is about an hour and a half away from here, and it's been all cordoned off, and the locals aren't in. Of course, one local showed up, and they managed to make the local news. He showed up in a full stormtrooper outfit, walking across the Baron's landscape. If you remember the end of Star Wars, that was in Ireland when he climbed up.
Yeah.
Well, seemingly they must be building the Millennium Falcon on top of that little islandy place, Malin Head. So he was wandering around over the heather.
So in a nutshell, Ireland is barren. Is that what I'm getting from this?
Well, I had this conversation with a guy from Scotland who was over last week, a guy from a refrigeration company, an American refrigeration company called True. They make fridges and big fridges. Anyway, and he was saying that he's amazed that we don't sell more product over here. And there's this thing about English people and Scottish people think that Northern Ireland is so much bigger than it actually is. But the population of Northern Ireland is about 1.7 million in total. And 50% of those live in the greater Belfast area. And the rest of it is sheep. And then there's a few Seans around the place and a few Ursulas.
So what's but apart the total from that, population of Ireland, if I might ask?
But I think it's about 10 or 11.
So, in a nutshell, I think the state of California has more people than Ireland.
Mm.
So I think we're right around there.
Yeah, Northern Ireland's about the size of like Birmingham, same population.
San Jose, where I moved away from, was a million a few years back.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
I do. I do know the way to San Jose. Just in case you wanted to know, by the way. Missouri also flat and barren, just like Ireland, according to me.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You at least have mountains, Robin. You have some hills and mountains. I don't think Missouri has anything other than like tornadoes.
That's what I know comes through
Missouri.
It's got a new house being built.
It does.
Yeah, there's that. Thank God.
Hey, has anybody heard from Fraser lately? I mean, Canada's burning. It's gone to hell, isn't it?
I guess he's having a barbecue.
we have heard from him. He actually was saying some things that I think could potentially get him kicked out of Canada. They were very anti-Canadian commentary, So
he's about 1,500 miles away from the fire as well. So
yeah, he's safe for now.
That's wild. Wildfire.
Is that something we get?
All right. Stuff happened.
Speaking of stuff happening, Mark, are you paying attention to Twitch at the moment?
No, I am now.
Brilliant. Thank you. Is there anybody we should be giving a special shout out mention to, or does everybody just basically signed out and shut the channel?
We've got a couple of people in at the moment. We've got Teflon 12, our Mr. Trivia. Viva La Pedros from True Skill Games is scoping out the competition, ready for our challenge.
Oye, viva la Pedros!
And we got Spazzy McBobbins, which is one of the best usernames I've heard.
That is a fantastic name. Yes.
That's cool. Hey, big shout out to Viva La Pedros. I have been listening to their podcast, and it is pretty sharp, actually. He's a good host.
Yeah.
They have good
hosts. Wish we knew some good hosts.
Yeah, no shit. We definitely are a truck. All right, let's get into a little bit about what we've been playing. Let's talk it up. I will go first. My list is pretty simple. I have been dealing with, another story time moment. Had the house painted this past week. That was fun. It's weird because I work from a home office, so they painted the house while I was working. And I don't know if you've ever had your house painted, but they seal everything up. They cover up all the windows. And when you're inside, it becomes rather eerie because you're looking out all of the windows in the house, all the doors have these plastic tarps over them. It's kind of like being quarantined. And and also on a hot day was not probably the best choice on my part because it was about 91 here. So I wasn't going to run the air conditioning because I didn't know if that was going to potentially screw up the guys. I don't know what equipment they had sitting over by the air conditioning because I can't see outside anymore. So I'm just running like internal fans and just dying. The house is starting to heat up. I was definitely tank top that day. Absolutely. But outside of that, getting the house painted, that was a great call by my wife. She made the call. She said, let's get the house painted. It looks fantastic now. Hey.
Oh, you mean outside the house?
Yes, like, outside the house. Not inside the house. Okay. Outside the house. Inside the house.
See, that's something that never happens here. We don't do outside. No, we maybe paint the, what's it called? The soffit and that sort of shit. Boats, yeah. But we don't have timber shitty houses. We have solid brick houses.
I will have you know, my house is actually stucco. It's not timber, jackass.
Stucco is
like kind of like a concrete, but not really concrete. You put it over drywall.
Tan concrete, like cheap concrete.
No. Christ,
I'm sorry. Stucco. Okay. The reason we have big brick houses and lots of ventilation and breeze block and
brick houses
are so bloody cold.
Well, that actually is part of the problem because the brick makes it even colder. First of all. Also, there's this thing called insulation you guys should invest in because that will help with the cold. And the third point is the brick is probably back from like when the country was first founded, which I don't know what was that, like the year 10?
Hey, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have been able to do things to the Nicole's ancestors.
That's true. Anyway, so all right, house painted, done. I played some more Rebel Galaxy this past week. I still love that game. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Finally, got
it. I don't know what you see in it. I fired that up again, and it doesn't grab me. Maybe I should play some more of it. I don't know.
I like space simmy kind of games, and this it scratches that itch, but it's not. Again, it's not too space sim. It's space sim light. So it's easy enough to pick up and play whenever you want, and you get that itch of building a ship and going out and exploring a universe.
Is there an end to it? An end game?
There is. Yes, there is a story. I'm progressing now. I'm actually focusing in on the story.
I haven't seen your victories achieved. I don't really see that many victories achieved from you anyway. So,
no. Like, you know, Madden. you won't see a victory from me there. Someday, maybe. Yeah. But I played more NHL 16. I was inspired because the Sharks kicked the shit out of the Nashville Predators. Hi, Nicole.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I would play some of that. I would do that.
Anytime. Let's get online. It's all part of EA Access now. In fact, was it the latest EA golf game went up on...
fellow countryman.
Yeah. I think Rory... Was it Rory McIlroy?
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy.
See? I almost know golf names. Almost. Is Tiger Woods still a thing?
No.
Not to his wife.
No, not at all. Anyway, all right. So that's me. Done. Simple, easy. Robin, I'm going to let you talk for 5 minutes.
Oh, thanks. Synchronizing watches.
Start.
Okay. I switched on the PS Boar. And it's been a long time since I've switched on the PS Boar. As Mark shakes his head.
I know.
Oh, dear.
Half the internet, more than half the internet, is probably cursing us right now.
I couldn't find the online button to buy it online, but I could find the buy button on the Amazon site, and I purchased Ratchet and Clank.
This is, now, for those that don't know, by the way, because a lot of people thought this was a new Ratchet and Clank game. This is a remake of the original Ratchet and Clank.
It's sort of a reimagining of the first game.
But it is the first game. It is new artwork. New. I mean, they have put a lot of work into it, don't get me wrong. But it basically is the original game. and it's in step and toe with the movie, which I've heard not so good, by the way.
Some of the kids went to see it last weekend before they played the game, and they had no I think they maybe touched some Ratchet and Clank on the PS2 way, way back.
Right.
And they enjoyed it, so the kids enjoyed it. Now, it looks like it was made hand-in-hand with the game developers, because quite a lot of the cutscenes, when you're playing it, it comes up a little message to say, broadcasting stopped while this cutscene is on. It's kind of weird. But seemingly the cutscenes are direct cuts from the movie. Now, I didn't realize that at first, but it just works perfectly. The movie clip, the actual clips you're seeing, are the majority of the cutscenes are straight from the movie. Look, Ratchet and Clank, we've all probably touched Ratchet and Clank at some stage.
I've touched Ratchet and Clank many times.
Yes, indeed, I've heard. Ratchet is the go-get-em positive guy. He's our protagonist with his cute little robot on his back, sort of cutie, clever companion that helps him out. And it's full of crazy weapons. Insomniac, the developers are famous for their crazy weapons.
They are.
I haven't just unlocked the Sheepinator, which is my favorite weapon. So
have you got the pixelator yet?
Yes, I have it too, yeah. Is it
kind of fitting that the Sheepinator is Robin's favorite weapon?
Yep.
I pushed back.
Especially in light of the previous commentary about Ireland population.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're very, very good about it. When you shoot the sheep in it, are your enemies turned to sheep?
When you shoot the sheep.
One of the other fantastic weapons is they call a Groovitron.
Right.
And you shoot it, and it puts up a disco ball, and they all start dancing like Plants vs. Zombies type thing. So it's just fun.
Right.
This is a game style that has been forgotten about, sort of that action adventure.
Right.
It's the first half of the game. It's not terribly difficult. I'm playing it on the normal. But the difficulty spike has jumped up massively towards the back end of the game. I think I've got maybe a chapter or so left. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's an awful lot longer than I expected it to be. I expected it to be 5-6 hours long, but I'm 10-12 hours plus at this stage. So it's very, very good. Lots of collectibles. As smooth as butter. It is really, really beautiful to look at. It's absolutely, it plays gorgeously. And it's amazing how that little console can handle those sorts of graphics. I'm very, very impressed with the PlayStation 4. Yeah. So, Ratchet & Clank. If you want some old school adventure-y stuff, that's your boy.
All right.
That's your
boy. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. It's a good movie reference, by the way, in case anybody does.
Okay.
Look it up.
I will. So, just to lift the tone.
Right.
The second game that I've been playing
because it's been so down so far
is a classical piece of modern writing. It's unique in its storytelling abilities. None of those above. I've been playing Deadpool. It came on offer on Xbox, and oh my god,
couldn't resist.
This is rude. It's crude. It's disgusting. It brings out the teenager in all of us.
Robin, a question, and I don't know the answer to this, so this is a legitimate question. Did you see the Deadpool movie?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you had actually seen it or not. So,
this Deadpool game is a pure and utter cash-in by the developers. It's a port from the PS3, Xbox 360, I believe it was released quite a few years ago. It runs like absolute shit. It really is fucking awful. The frame rate staggers into at times. It is just unbelievably bad. I forgive it all. It is so friggin' funny.
This is your like guilty pleasure, though.
Yeah, Mina. If you guys go on to Bongo the Sane, my feed, and there's a few video clips there.
I like the woman falling down the shaft. yes. He lands on the falling spike. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes round, comes to, and he sees his her two boobs and is like, sheep far away, sheep close up. And he goes,
and he says something
it's
like,
really bad.
You should have been on my pole, it would have been less painful.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's just full of really, really base humor. It is a shooty, slashy game. You slash things up and chop people's heads off. The gore goes everywhere. It's disgusting, but it's funny. And I'm enjoying it.
So there's really no redeeming quality to this game.
I cannot recommend this game to anyone.
But on a whole, you highly recommend it.
But on a whole, I say go out and buy it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So, yeah. So Deadpool. Yeah. If you like the movie, you'll get a titter out of this.
So here's my question.
Lots of titters everywhere.
here's my barometer question for you, Robin.
Okay.
At what point? You know, if we started, say, you know, we had a meter and it starts up here at 60 and it's slowly falling down or 45 pounds. Is that – I think that's equivalent for a new game on you guys. So as it's slowly coming down, when is that hit and you say it's a buy? Is it 25 pounds or is it, you know, 15?
Yeah, it was – I think this was 23 quid.
23 pounds.
Yeah. And still, it was an expense. Yeah.
23 squids. That's a lot.
Add five. It's nearly $30. Yeah.
So $30 for a game that you cannot recommend on any one particular level, but you just.
Well, see, let me tell you a story about that. So it went on offer on the screen. Do you know the bit where all the special offers are?
Yes.
You know, on the front screen,
you find the skills.
Yeah, the special offers. Right. Yeah, well, I went straight to that. I found it straight away.
Yeah, you can't find it in the store, but you have to go on the button. Yeah.
And I clicked, there's extra offers in there as well, now in the top bar. They heard you. And so I went in there and I clicked on the game and read a wee bit about the Deadpool game and scrolled down and there was broadcast clips there. And I flicked through two or three of the clips and I was sold. And the clips are something similar to my posts and then some. And I thought, no, this is my cup of tea. This is classy. This is a really, really erudite game for an up-and-coming gentleman. And this is the sort of thing that I want to show my kids.
Have you let your wife see it yet?
No. Yeah. Anyway, Deadpool. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're going to do it in movies, so if American Pie was a really classy Shakespeare, and then you've got sort of Police Academy, you know, that it gets lower.
First of
and
you've all, got sort of. You're not setting the bar very high with
American Pie. No, I'm not. No, okay. No. And then Police Academy is right at the bottom, you know, there's really crap. Police Academy 1, I suppose. It had tits in it. That was all right. This is sort of Porky's. This is
okay.
Porky's.
This is Porky's.
Really, huh? It's that sort of humor aimed at, yeah. Anyway, and the last thing that I've been playing is I've been working my way through Dead Space again, and I'm about halfway through. God almighty, that game doesn't look great anymore, but it still grabs you by the short and curlies and scares the crap out of you. It really is awesome.
That game was great at building tension.
I love it.
And God, do you know, see if you're stressed out, just go in and stand as Isaac and start stamping your feet and turn the volume up.
Oh, that's right.
And that noise, vroom, 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 oh, yeah, just bust things up.
Okay.
And that's what I've been doing.
All right. 5 minutes almost on the nose. Excellent. All right, Mark. Yes. Let's get a disclaimer out of the way. Anybody listening to this podcast hoping to hear the game that probably we should be talking about because it's probably the second biggest game released this week, there'll be no discussion of that. Uncharted 4 missing from both of your gameplays right now. But that does not mean it has not been a resounding success. I have it on good authority. I've heard sheep whispering in my ear. Robin intends to get this game eventually. And Mark, you absolutely are on board for Uncharted 4. It's just not in the wheelhouse currently.
Nope.
I have a plan for it too.
Two reasons.
You have a plan?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell it after Mark speaks. Yeah. I have a plan for Uncharted.
Yeah. I have a plan as well.
Yeah, I will.
Tim, do you have a plan?
No, I don't have a plan.
Top secret.
But the main thing you need to get this game is money, and I don't have any of it this week. So,
Yeah, it is true, and that is part of my plan slash problem. My plan slash problem has partly to do with future news that we have, but I need to get my PS4 in order to play Uncharted 4.
Aha!
And that is not going to happen quite yet. I need to, at this point, wait for E3.
Okay, so that ties into my cunning plan, Greg.
Your cunning plan, okay.
My cunning plan. So my issue is not the money just at the moment, so I can go out and buy Uncharted right now.
Right.
Not a problem. I can do that.
You know this, Robin.
It's time. It's time, okay? Time is the issue. So I've got too much other stuff to do.
I don't buy that totally, though, Robin, because apparently you had this pocket with money in it, and it caught fire, and it was like burning a hole in your pants pocket. You had to spend it. You bought Deadpool, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I am going to buy it in a week or two because I'm just crazy, nutty, busy at the moment. And I can't. I have so many things that I haven't even touched yet. Dying Light, Witcher, blah, 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 blah. Onward on. Yeah.
I hear you.
But when I'm going to buy it. Ratchet & Clank is now for sale in a week.
Right.
I'm going to buy Uncharted, and I'm going to sell it as soon as I'm finished with it. And I'm also going to get rid of my PS4.
Wow. Maybe I'll buy a UK PS4 if you pay shipping.
And then I'm just setting myself up to buy...
something else that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Her name is Neo, and she dances on the sand. Hopefully, the Neo will be sort of up to par in October, but we'll get to that.
Mark,
Yes,
we're going to ask you about what you've been playing. Let's.
Sorry, Mark.
Well, I have been playing a couple of new releases, which were the PS Plus games.
Yes,
which was Tabletop Racing.
Right.
Oh.
It's a bit of a Micro Machines type game. You literally race on tabletops and little scenarios like that, and in like a garage and stuff, workshops, and it's quite fun, really.
If we were a quality podcast, by the way, Mark, I would have video right now of the little cars cruising around for you.
Yeah.
I can simulate what it looks like with my hands.
Beep, beep, beep. There's a sound effect.
Yeah.
And I did send you links to these videos, but...
Absolutely, you did, Mark.
Unfortunately,
you did.
Webster's not here.
Yes, and my response to you was, that's funny. And then I attempted. I was actually attempting, and then I realized we were running... I was running late with setup, so I was like, Mark, you're going to get none of this. So all of what you asked for, I denied.
Yeah.
I feel like a government official right now.
Overlord tank top, you know.
Yes.
So you can play it solo, and you can play multiplayer as well online with this. I've not played online yet, but I've played the single player element of it. It's got a touch of Mario Kart in it, where you drive over a pickup. So you've got like a rocket launcher, or you can drop a mine.
Is the camera, like, behind the car then?
Yeah.
I'm assuming? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Remember the shitty game you all played a while back? The little kart racer?
Yeah.
Supercars.
I couldn't stand that.
It's like a good version of that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this is quite fun. It's got collectibles in it, so you've got bronze, silver, and gold coins hidden in the surrounding areas around the track. If you collect these, you get a boost to your coins. And then with the coins, what you can do in between races, you can upgrade your car. You can buy a faster car, different classes. There's your bangers. There's your sports cars. Then there's your ultimate hypercar type things. And you can upgrade each one for your traction, you know, like your handling, your speed, your acceleration. So there's a lot of sort of like variety to it.
And okay.
It's just a fun little game. For free, it's good.
It's hard to argue against any game when it's free.
Yeah.
There are some you can, but, I mean, on a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And the other freebie I played was Switch Galaxy Ultra, which is on both the PS4 and the Vita. Now, I played the PS4 version.
Is this another racer?
It's more of a race against time.
Okay.
Imagine
like life.
Imagine Wipeout, but you're the right. You're the only ship. And imagine slot car racing where you've got lanes. And then imagine part of these lanes have got holes in them. So when you get to where there's a hole, you have to switch a lane so you don't fall down. And then some of them have barriers, so you have to keep switching lanes. So it's more of a reaction type thing. You go over boost pickups, so you can boost. That's the only sort of pickup you've got. So the more boost you get, obviously, you can do the track in the quickest time. And it's all about beating the time and leaderboards. And it's simple, but it's quite fun.
Okay. I mean, I think out of the descriptions I've just heard, tabletop racing for me probably is rising to the top versus Switch Galaxy.
Switch Galaxy is very basic, but it's a good time filler. Tabletop racing has got more depth to it. It is a better game. But yeah, Switch Galaxy Ultra, it's not too bad.
That's the back of the box quote right there. Switch Galaxy Ultra. It's not too bad.
I don't think there's any sort of like multiplayer element. I've not looked. I've not got into that part of it. And it does get progressively harder as you move on. You sort of like the premise of the game is you travel across some galaxies, and each time you go to a different thing, a new galaxy area, that's when you do the lane switching and then you go through a bit of space thing. Like a wormhole, and you have to collect some stuff. Some, like, floating light things. I don't know what they're called.
Very descriptive, and
yeah.
I'm right there with you on this one.
Yeah, and then when you hit, if you hit a barrier, you lose one of these light things, and you need these light things to begins with a T, so like Terrarium or something. And you need these things to buy entrance to the next area.
So it's your currency?
Yeah.
All right.
So that's the two small games out of the way.
All right.
I've fired up last year's game of the year for me and you, Greg, The Witcher 3.
Yeah. This was a game worthy of your time this week. The next game after this, I don't know.
But I've been playing the DLC, Hearts of Stone.
Okay.
I've just done the first main mission. In true Witcher style, it convolutes into sort of like massive story plot lines and everything. And the first mission, I don't want to give any spoilers, but you have to fight this monster, but there's more to it than that. And it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I've got hooked back into it now.
I've got to ask, what the hell is going on with Robin?
I don't know.
What is happening in the Twitch?
He's talking about removing amiibos from his ass.
Oh, Jason Johnson must be in the chat. There was a discussion a little ways back on the Game Punchers podcast about amiibos which amiibos
we can get up your ass here.
Yes, and I think Jason had chimed in on that at one point. That's all I can think of. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, pun intended. Mark,
it wasn't for me. It's for a friend.
I talked about jumping into Witcher 3. I'm excited to get back into it, but I saw the update coming, and it made me stop, and I'm now waiting for the update because they're doing a complete UI overhaul.
Ah.
So all of the inventory screens, everything is going to be made 1,000 times better.
Is that
I saw some of the screens.
Is that with the next DLC pack at the end of May?
Yes.
Ah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, 'cause it is a bit convoluted, the menu system.
Crafting, the menu screen, the inventory stuff, all of that is going to get a big overhaul.
All right.
Thank God.
And it looks like it is it's what it should have been. I'll say that.
So for me that hasn't played any of it, do I wait then until that happens?
Yeah, end of May. Mm-hmm. You don't have much longer.
Because I thought I'd get this DLC out of the way, ready for the new one in May, because we've got the season pass, but you've got me thinking now. But I'm back into it now. I've got the bug. But I know there's new weapons you can collect and new armor. In fact, I've already got some new armor already from killing this monster thing.
Armor. It is, yeah. This, I cannot wait.
And it was, like, there's a lot to the combat in this game. It's not an easy game to learn. It's got a bit of a steep learning curve initially when you first play it. But, oh, this was going back into, like, a comfy pair of slippers. I got straight back into it, chopping heads off and instant kills. And yeah, I love it. It's brilliant. And it looks gorgeous. Still looks gorgeous.
And they still have the same kind of high quality in the voice acting and the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, are you finding, like, I mean, in the original Witcher 3, like, you had side missions that would evolve kind of what felt like very naturally, and they took you in a new direction, and they kind of branched out themselves. Do you still get that sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I say, I've just done this, the sort of, like, opening mission, but it opens up so many more missions to do, and there's, like, hidden motives and hidden agendas from who gave you the initial contract to kill the monster.
Right.
And there's a lot of twists. So, yeah, it's really interesting. It's going to be good.
By the way, just real quickly, panel members, I need you to chime in on this, except you, Robin. Is it me, or as I'm looking at Robin's camera, does it not look like his house is just starting to fall? Everything is, like, slanted. It's like you're on a hill.
It's what you say in the UK is, it's on the piss.
Anyway, all right. Mark,
this energy drink is good
else?
Stuff.
I'm going to hide the Skype window because these two are putting me off.
Yeah, I hear you.
What else? And then also this week, because I've been off work this week because it was my birthday on Monday.
Yes,
happy birthday.
So I've gone from playing hardly any games to playing a load of games this week, and I've just played a shitload of Metal Gear Solid 5 again this week. Fraser's favourite game, one of my favourite games, and it is just fantastic. I love this game.
Yes. And you know what? Kudos to you, by the way, because most people, they take their day off, you know, for their birthday. You, it's the whole friggin' week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I can respect that. That is an event.
Actually, on my birthday on the Monday, we did go out and we spent most of the day out. We went to a beautiful place called St. Ives Estate in Bingley, which is near here. We took the dog. My mum came as well with her dog. It was a gloriously sunny day, absolutely beautiful day. We just spent the whole day walking around this beautiful estate in the countryside. And it was a fantastic day out. We had lunch in this beautiful cafe on the site. Yeah, fantastic day. And then rest of the week, dulled off a bit, so I've just been playing games. So, really good week.
That's a very good week. Mm-hmm. I'm duly jealous. Yeah. All right. Well, again, happy birthday, Mark. Kim, let's talk about what you've been playing. I don't see anything named Frozen on your list.
No, so. there's nothing named Frozen on my list.
No,
there was earlier.
Just
a second. There was. We were watching. Yeah. Mark and I were on the show notes as you were typing, and you typed Frozen and then deleted it.
No, that was Mark.
All right. looks like Diablo 3 has wound its way back into your playlist.
Yeah, I had all intents and purposes of playing Witcher 3, and I had to take Diablo 3 out of the Xbox, and I don't know, somehow or another, something happened. I ended up starting a new campaign for Diablo 3 on hard, so I fooled around with that for a little bit, and, you know, I have my, 70 million damage sword or whatever the hell it is that Mark gave me. I mean, you could cut through them suckers like nothing. So, you know, it makes hard mode very easy.
And didn't they just update this game again? I mean, they have supported this game like there is no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or that there is a tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe that didn't make sense. But they've supported this game a ton. That's my point.
And I think that's probably another reason why I started up another go at it, I guess. I want to see all the new stuff. So,
what character did you go to? I mean, I have a few now in it. My second one was the Witch Doctor woman.
Well, I kept going with my Crusader, so I'm still playing her. But I need to start the other, three other characters, I think.
Yeah,
so,
brilliant game.
Yeah. So I dabbled with that, and then, of course, I went back to Letter Quest, you know, piddled around with it some more.
Of course, that was all of top of mind for everybody on this panel. We knew you were going back to Letter Quest.
Of course.
I don't know
She's
Letter
ganging
Quest.
Ganging up on me.
Talk to me, Kim. LetterQuest. What exactly is this game? I honestly don't know. I've never played LetterQuest.
I've seen a lot of people playing this on the activity feed.
Right. Was this one of the free games by chance?
No. It was $10, I think, is what I spent on it. It's kind of like, you remember Bookworm on the computer? You know, you spell the little words with the tiles, you know, and you have the little worm, you know. It's.
I believe they call that Scrabble.
Well, sort of, yeah. But that's kind of what this is, except you play the Grim Reaper and his, I don't know, what is she, his little assistant? They've got a little girl Grim Reaper with him. And you go along and you kill little monsters and you spell these words out. So it's like a little RPG Scrabble-ish kind of game.
All right.
It's, you know.
Is it in like 1080p? I see it's been remastered.
I don't know. Maybe? Yeah.
I don't know. That probably is something we should ask Fraser Moore. So I'm sure he will have an opinion
on
that.
Oh, I'm sure he'll know, yes.
Yes. But, all right.
It's a good little time waster, you know.
Okay.
And it's better than Frozen. So.
And better than Frozen. Well, yeah, we'll have more to talk about Frozen and other Disney properties in a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess we can actually get into that. We can start talking about some of this new stuff. Kind of a really crazy week for news, yeah. In so much that the big piece of news just came out of left field. Nobody expected it. Mm-hmm. Disney Infinity being shut down. Basically, Disney said, we're out of the game publishing business. We're going to license our stuff out. We don't want to be publishers anymore. We don't want to actually make the games. That was pretty shocking. I don't think any of us even knew Disney Infinity or the studios themselves were in trouble. So they shut down Avalanche, which is out in Utah. I guess about 300 jobs were cut. And, you know, and it's funny. The more I thought about it, though, the more it kind of makes sense to me. The more it kind of makes sense.
Why does that make sense to you?
Well, I think Disney probably sat back and looked at the amount of money they made off of Star Wars Battlefront and their overhead costs associated with that versus the amount of money they were making off of Disney Infinity and games that they were making themselves and the overhead associated with that. And I bet the scales were way lopsided. And they realized they can license their properties out to quality studios. And I say quality assuming quality. So I'm sure we're going to see more Disney properties put out to EA. I now, based on this news, think that rumor of Sony having a Spider-Man game, maybe that's real.
So why don't they just sell the rights to Infinity to someone else? And let the developers do the Infinity games. Because there's lots of characters out there. Look, there's going to be lots of kids with them characters who are going to be mightily pissed off.
Well, the Infinity games are really good.
There's
a lot goes on in them.
I know Nicole's got a few of these characters for her kids. So
yeah.
Are they going to continue support for the game?
No. Moving forward,
For a while, yeah, there's two more packs coming out.
Yeah, two more packs, that's it. The reason why they don't want to sell it to somebody else is because I think they plan to license it. So, again, I think this becomes Disney is looking to license these things instead of just selling them outright. It's kind of like, you know, they have all the licensing rights to Marvel.
Yeah,
so they very well could. They very well could approach an Activision and say, you know, hey, you guys have been great at Skylanders. Skylanders also has been faltering of late. And so maybe they approach Activision and say, hey, we'll license out Disney Infinity to you.
But the licensing costs, or the development costs for Skylanders must be so much smaller than Infinity, because Infinity had world builders, it had racers in it, and it had so many different aspects, where Skylanders, through all the three generations now, has been pretty much the same game with some tweaks.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe the cost of development against what they're making. But, yeah, it's a big move, you know, big surprising. And if Infinity was, and it was the at Christmas time, the biggest selling, what is it, Toys to Life?
Toys to Life, yeah. It was the biggest Toys to Life game.
So if they're not selling enough, what are Skylanders selling? And, you know,
we know Skylanders was down. We know that. Amiibos are a different breed, though, because
it's a collector thing.
It's a collector's thing, and they don't have an actual dedicated game to Amiibos. So they can kind of, you know, you add some functionality in if you want for Amiibos, but
and they've got so many uses.
Yeah, I don't think there's as much overhead associated with the Amiibos as there was with Disney Infinity, especially. Kim, were you a Disney Infinity person at all?
No, it seemed like to me you have to buy all those little figures. It would just be a big cash cow in the end, so I kind of stayed away from that.
Yeah, now they're probably selling like hotcakes on eBay.
Probably, yeah.
I got into the Skylanders a while ago when the PS4 first launched. I got the the Swap Force characters, and I bought quite a few of those. I quite enjoyed that, but I've not played a Skylander since. I get that feeling of, and I know what people feel when they start playing these and want to collect them all. It's quite addictive.
Yeah. Nothing like a good trap.
Nothing like a good trap. Yeah. So there was that. Then we got word that Project Spark was no longer going to be supported. So I don't think they're shutting the game down, but I just don't think they're doing anything more for it moving forward. So I think.
Anybody's doing anything with it?
I know. That's, you know, it was one of those things where I think everybody, each generation, at least the past two generations, we've had these games of like, oh, you know, we're going to let you create your own games. You had Little Big Planet. You had Project Spark. I forgot the name of the game that the Xbox 360 had, but it was a...
Cody or something.
Yes. I was right on the tip of my tongue.
Cody or something?
Yeah, it's Cody or something. Yes, it's very close. Somebody in the chat will know, probably.
Or Mario Maker.
Mario Maker, actually, I think was probably the most successful out of these. And maybe it's because it was built on a game that we already knew everybody loved.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know. I can't really equate it to the same. But, you know, we had all of these where there were games that basically were going to teach us to be good video game developers. And I think everybody found out they're not a good video game developer, and it wasn't
that. Yeah, it's just sort of 1% of people that have it can actually do something good with all of these things, and the rest of us fiddle around with the creation tools for an hour or 2 hours and then leave it. I mean, Minecraft has been the greatest thing ever, that you can actually create something quite easily and looks okay. Well, these things require time, and there's not a lot of, you know, who's going to see it?
But Minecraft... I think that the beauty of Minecraft is you had these kind of creation elements to it, but also Kodu, yes. But, you know, you had the creation elements to it, but you didn't have to worry about the logic of AI. So, you know, the enemies were present. You had kind of the world was already there, and that wasn't something you really mess with in Minecraft. You just build things, and then you have – some, for lack of a better way to put it, logic and physics pieces that you can then create other things to make things with, but you never had to actually create the entire world. And I think that is the
magic
beauty
balance
of,
was right.
The magic balance is right. You're absolutely correct. So Project Spark, no more. I guess they're going to pull it from the store, and I'm assuming.
Conquer.
Yes.
Dies again. Conker dies again.
But young Conker lives on, Robin. Young Conker lives on.
Young Conker has big balls.
Yes, he does. There's that. Then moving over to the PlayStation platform, rumors now circulating that apparently the PS4 Neo or PS4.5, depending upon how you want to look at this, that is going to be launching in the first half of Sony's fiscal year, which has been narrowed down to October, according to a quote-unquote leak through VG247. So October is the time frame for the new PS4 Neo.
That comes from their financial records, like public record, where they're saying that this is going to happen, said that it's going to launch within their first fiscal, and that started in April, so it would make sense that it ends in September, October. So, yeah, that's...
It's a really weird time for Sony, if you ask me. Sony has... It's funny, because Sony is in the catbird seat. They are driving the car. They have everything going their way, and now they've kind of introduced, or seemingly introduced, because we haven't had an official announcement yet, but you know, we have PSVR, which we know is coming this holiday, and now they're introducing the PS4 Neo, and it just seems like it's going to be a bit of a convoluted holiday time for some.
Yeah, well, they're not going to talk about it publicly until they absolutely have to, because the masses of people out there, this is just rumor, are still going to continue to buy PS4s, and the thing that's happening in October is PSVR as well. So the two together make a powerful package and a powerful story at E3. You know, so I know it's only a month away, but I think they'll make an official announcement. Probably it'll have to be then, really, if they're going to go for the Christmas market.
I just think they have to be careful, because I think there's going to potentially be some confusion, and pricing confusion as well might come into play, depending on how expensive the PS4 Neo is. I'm assuming it's going to be $400, and maybe they're going to drop the PS4 price down a little bit. So maybe that will become $300 and the PS4 Neo will be $400. I think that's probably a best case scenario. And then you have VR that will work with both. But then the question is, well, you know, this notion of, will it work better with PSVR? Supposedly it won't, but I mean, that's the question that's in the back of my mind.
Optimized for PSVR.
So, I don't know. It is a very odd time, and of course we have the rumors also about Microsoft is going to have some kind of new console coming as well. You know, likely I think it's going to be a Slim. I don't think it's going to be a mid-console upgrade like Sony's.
Yeah, doing. Well, unfortunately Microsoft can't win this one. You know, they really can't, because even though that made the rumors for the Plus 0.5s came out for Microsoft first, started by sort of Phil Spencer at, at G, whatever it is, the Gamer Development Conference thing. And but the PS4 plans seem to be more concrete. So if they come up with a Slim, the fanboys are going to go, is that all?
Yeah, it didn't help with Microsoft actually saying they're going to do modular upgrades, then they said, oh no, they're not doing that, then they're doing one big upgrade, then they're not doing it. So they've been given a lot of misinformation.
It's the first misstep that they've made as far as that public stuff is.
I mean, in a good while, yes, I would agree. They have definitely been doing a lot of good PR work on a whole.
I'm bored of it. I'm bored. I just want to hear about this stuff and solidly, you know.
Well, the good news is, Robin, literally we are 1 month away from that news.
Fucking brilliant. Thank you.
Bad time.
Yes.
I'll be able to sleep at night.
June 12th actually will be the first day for new news, because that will be the EA conference. Happens Sunday the 12th. And I believe Bethesda also doing their conference on Sunday the 12th. Which you have to wonder, what is Bethesda going to announce at this point?
Ridge Racer!
No. all right, a couple other tidbits of news, and we'll get these out of the way. Microsoft added multiple disk support for backwards compatibility. So again, that was one of those things that they were kind of throwing out there. We don't know if we can do it or not.
Mass Effect.
I think you've got The Lost Odyssey. You think about all of the, you know, what was it? The Final Fantasy games came on multiple discs, so I think those likely are going to be coming. And let's face it, we've also seen this trend now. A lot of companies are using this backwards compatibility to package in the old games with the new ones as kind of an incentive to buy the version and get the new version. So I foresee that happening a bit more. Overwatch beta was played by more than 9.7 million people. It could have been 9.7 million and one had I actually started my Overwatch beta, but instead I deleted that today.
But it's finished now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was done.
My lab really enjoyed this. I liked it. I think I talked about it last week.
Yes.
My lad loves it, and it's his birthday at the end of the month, so I'm getting him this for his birthday present, so I might better borrow this and play a bit of this. So,
Overwatch. Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things from it. Kim, did you play the Overwatch beta?
I did, and I enjoyed it. And I don't know if it's going to make me want to run out and buy it when it comes out. I'll probably wait till it goes on sale. But unless a bunch of people suddenly go, oh, we're going to, you know, buy Overwatch, then maybe. But yeah, it was pretty good.
Big question a lot of people had was, how many other modes is it going to have? Because from what I understand, they showed off just a couple modes, but I don't think people really think there's more than a few modes.
What I think this has got going for it, though, is it's Blizzard. And look how Blizzard have supported an old game like World of Warcraft. They're still supporting
and
Diablo 3.
3.
Yeah, Diablo 3 is still getting updates after all this time.
True.
And they're still overhauling. I mean, not little updates, neither of them, massive overhauls. So if Blizzard continue to put that work into this game, I've got more confidence buying this than I have the Gearbox one. I can't even remember
Battleborn,
what the Gearbox one's got.
Battleborn.
Yeah. Battleborn. You do have to feel a little bad for Gearbox. I mean, here they create this game. They think that they are going to be able to kind of corner the market. They're going to be the only one out there doing this. And then Blizzard just basically walked into the middle of their conference room and put just a big turd in the middle of their table and was like, here.
Yeah.
Overwatch is here. And we're going to basically put it out right on top of Battleborn. And it's really stifled and snuffed out all discussion of Battleborn. Okay, finally, and this is the biggest news of the week. Let's face it. Atari, long-time video game, your second one? Jesus Christ.
So I just felt myself, I'm so exhausted. I felt myself coming down.
Wait a minute. So
I need to
only
go back up again.
You're now drinking a second energy drink, but are you eating chocolate as well?
I needed something. I was just going flagging. I don't want to flag. I am. This podcast is over, I'm collapsing, but I need to keep the energy up.
No, energy up. By the end of this podcast, yeah. I'm envisioning you being up in the corner top part of the room, just stuck to the wall.
My pee will be green.
Yes. All right. So Atari, back on track here. Atari has given the green light to the Missile Command and Centipede movies.
Why? Oh, dear.
Why?
Exactly.
Okay. What? Missile Command might make a good movie.
That's what I was going to say. Missile Command, I could kind of see. I can kind of see Missile Command loosely translating into an okay movie. I mean,
Centipede. Centipede might be like Deadpool. Yeah, it might be really classy.
Yeah, Centipede in pictures.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is human Centipede.
Well, yeah. But again, it all depends on how they translate. Because these movies are going to need to be heavily adapted into a different story than what the video games were. Hmm. Centipede, though, I could see maybe you've got some, I don't know, city, walled off city, futuristic sci-fi setting.
Waldorf City. That's a bit of a Waldorf.
No, not Waldorf. Walled off city. And these mechanical bugs are coming out of the woods and they're circling in through the trees.
Greg. They're going to be absolute fucking wank.
I know they
are. Does a centipede shit in the woods?
Yeah, apparently it does. All right. Let us get past that, and let us get into the most important thing we can talk about at this very moment. This is the podcast trivia. Now, Jason Johnson has sent us in podcast trivia for this week. Now, here is the important thing to note.
You got my 2 points from last week. That's important.
I did. And most importantly, understand that the podcast trivia year is broken up into two seasons, okay? Season one is ending the week of E3. So the prior week is the final week of podcast trivia for season one. We will declare
season
a winner.
Season one is shit. Season two is always better.
It's the case. We will declare a winner for season one, and that winner will get a special custom-made T-shirt. Just saying, it's a worthwhile thing. Right now, the bad news for Robin and for Kim you do not, at this point, have a path to the nomination to win the T-shirt. However,
so why are we being oppressed?
Why are you oppressed? Because Ireland lives do not matter.
But look, Kim should get bonus points just for wearing the Batman T-shirt. I should get bonus points for hosting the odd time. So come on, we should be on there. I want to play my Joker.
You are on here, and you will partake. But Mark, this is a definitive moment for you.
You're gonna put me.
You are officially 4 points behind Super Guesser Extraordinaire Nicole Radowski. Nicole currently sits at 13 points. Mark, you are at 9.
Right, and there's 4 weeks left.
There's 4 weeks left. You have a chance to gain 2 points on her this very podcast.
Make sure I do not miss the show for the next 4 weeks. And
Mark, Nicole, do you remember what C-3PO said to R2-D2 on the Millennium Falcon when they were playing that game?
Not off the top of my head.
Let the Wookiee win.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. All right. So we understand our places right here. Robin and Kim, you really are playing a spoiler role. You can try to throw Mark off. You know, this is...
And we can cheat.
No, there's no cheating. There's no cheating. Everybody will give their answers at the same time to me in the show notes. You know... you can be supportive or you can be anti-supportive towards Mark. You know, throw out random things openly. Yes, you are. All right, here is the email from Jason. He actually wrote us an email, not just trivia this week, so I want to give it its just due. Said, hey, OC crew, I have a quick question for you. That was actually kind of rhyming. In my current playthrough of Stellaris, by the way, that is the Glorious Empire Stellaris is a new – I want to say it's an RTS game. I don't think it's turn-based. But space RTS Civ kind of game. So Jason is asking some advice here, by the way. So he says, in my current playthrough of Stellaris, the Glorious Empire of the United Terraran Federation recently discovered a primitive civilization on a planet in a nearby system. Everybody following me so far?
No.
Good. Okay. We'll keep going then. Reports indicate there are a race of insect-like creatures, bugs, currently using steam-era technology, intelligent bugs. That's kind of scary. What course of action do you think the Supreme Leader Grand Marshal Bolton – Bolton, Game of Thrones, Bolton is a cunt.
Yeah. Ramsay Bolton.
Yes. Should Nasty order cunt. To be done with this discovery? He asks, should they be conquered and enslaved? Should they be uplifted and made into vassals to join the armies of the UTF? Should they be wiped out, or should they be left in peace? Your advice will be considered, but ultimately the decision is reserved for the Grand Marshal Bolton herself. Oh, it's a herself. Thoughts from the chat are welcome too. So those in the chat, what do you think? Should he basically enslave the bugs? Should he basically help arm the bugs and they can fight alongside him? Should he just destroy and wipe out the bugs? Or should they just be left in peace, kind of like a zoo, so to speak? You know, you just let them be out in their own land and don't touch them.
I remember this mission, and I chose one of these options. And the rest of the game, I never heard from him again.
Ah, so you're saying live and let live?
Well, I chose, B anyway.
Okay, so you're saying leave them be?
Yeah.
All right.
Because they might become an ally. I was hoping they'd be an ally and help later on in the game, but I never saw them again, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
Kim?
I say give them weapons and let them join the army. What the hell?
All right, Kim wants to fight alongside the bugs. She's got a little of that jungle fever, I think, for the bugs.
I think it's a game I'm thinking of anyway.
Robin, what do you think?
I think you should switch that shit off and play something decent.
I am going to take my lead from probably the one thing, Jason, that you should be using as a rule of thumb for any game of this kind, and that is Starship Troopers is your ultimate guide on how to deal with bugs. Kill them all, Jason. Kill them all.
I wasn't properly
Deadpool
listening.
Again?
I wasn't properly listening to the beginning. Did he actually say the name of the game or anything?
Yes, Stellaris.
Oh, right, okay.
Stellaris.
I thought, because there's a mission very similar to that with a queen spider in Mass Effect 2.
In Mass Effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Play Mass Effect instead.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was referring to. I thought we had to guess what the game was at first. I thought that was a question. I thought, yes, I've got this.
Jason was seeking advice out on his newly played game, and I, Jason, clearly am the one you should listen to. Yeah. Wipe him.
I'm glad I helped him out there.
Because, Jason, let me just put it this way. I have the same issue in my house and the grounds surrounding my house. There are insects that live out there. And I can arm them with food, or I can destroy them all.
But I bet you don't have raccoons in your attic.
No, I do not have raccoons in my attic.
Like, I win.
You do win on that. Yes, Jason, just kill them. It's like a spider. Do you let a spider live in your house? No, you squash it, you kill it, you throw it down the toilet. This is what you should do with these bugs. All right. Here we go. Questions, trivia. We're ready.
I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. That is really awful. There are devices you can buy on Amazon to safely remove spiders from your house and put them outside.
Yes. And this is the
Dorian
device.
Is an expert on that sort of shit because he's frightened of the things. He's a big wuss. And he has to have a little device to take it out of the bath and at arm's length and put it away.
It's a vacuum.
Dorian, you wuss.
Vacuum cleaner. Suck it up.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Murderer.
Pretty much. All right. First question. Get ready.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I will ask for everybody's answers at the same time. You will type it into our show notes. So I see them all appear at the same time. What year did the first Doom game release? Was it A, 1992, B, 1996, C, 1994, or D, 1993? First year, or first Doom game, when did it release? Which year? Pressure is on, Mark. Pressure is on. Are you all ready? Do you have an answer?
Mm-hmm. All three of you? Just rattle through the order again.
All right.
I'm doing it, I guess.
Yeah. And Jason, of course, is helping you guys out with his staggered convention. A, 1992, B, 1996, C, 1994, or D, 1993?
Okay.
All right. Are we all ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will ask for your answers now. All right. So Mark has said D, Kim has said A, and Robin has said A. So both Robin and Kim are saying 1992, Mark is saying 1993, and I can affirm there is a correct answer or answers on the board. According to trivia guru and master Jason Johnson and the World of Facts, Doom came out in the year 1993.
Yeah.
That's bollocks.
Son of a...
Let the Wookiee win.
God damn it.
All right, so Mark gets a point, inching ever so closer to Nicole. Second question, and this is the harder question. Stellaris, the video game.
Oh, my God.
Recently became the fastest-selling game in the Studio Paradox Interactive's history. How many units did it sell in the first 24 hours?
Oh,
Stellaris, the game we all knew like the back of our hand.
How many there's a trial on Xbox One for? And like the, the bit where...
This is a PC-only game.
All right, okay. There is something like that, like an adventuring game. So is it? But I think it's Stellaris.
Yes, there's Stellaris, but this is Stellaris, Stellaris, How many games did it sell in its first 24 hours, according to Jason Johnson, Guru, Grandmaster Poopah, Trivia Master? Here we go. Your answer choices are A, 150,000, B, 200,000 with an energy drink, C, 500,000, or D, 100,000.
In the first hour or day?
First 24 hours.
That's hours for you, Robin.
Hours. First 24 hours. how many units did it sell? Is it A, 150,000, B, 200,000, C, 500,000, or D, 100,000? Do we all have an answer ready?
Yeah, this is an even question.
This is easy. It's one of the four.
Yeah.
All right, I will ask for your answers now.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now, if Greg says one of you has got it right.
I know, right?
So all three of you have answered with B, 200,000. I can positively 100% confirm that nobody has not gotten it wrong. You all got it right.
Yeah.
200,000, yes. Stellaris has sold over 200,000 units in its first 24 hours. It reached 64,000 concurrent players and enjoyed a 95% positive review rating on Steam from Steam users, which that is shocking in and of itself. Steam users, let's face it, they are a fickle bunch. So yeah, Stellaris, it's doing well, at least for Paradox. And Mark doing well, as are both of you in this final question. So let's just update real time the standings here. This is the fun part of it all. So Robin and Kim both logged a point in. And Robin, you now sit at 6 points. Technically, with 3 weeks left, I suppose. No, you can't. Mark, you now sit at 11 points.
Yeah. And because she's not here, I'm going to save this. I won't save this when she's here. You're going down, Nicole.
That's good to hold that off.
It's on.
But if she's here, I'll never say that. She's scary.
It also should be noted that this was a great moment for the United States and Ireland in that they both have surpassed Canada now in medal count. Fraser Moore is at 4. Nicole sitting at 13 with the lead. Kim at 5. Mike Chin, he was on for one podcast, let's face it, but he failed miserably. He is our low bottom leader with 0 points. Even Gary Lever is beating Mike Chin. there we go. That is the standings. And like I said, season one ends June 11th. So we're biding our time. It's happening. It's coming around the corner. Mark, you've put yourself in a good position. You've put yourself in a good position. Now I'm going to be getting constant requests. Can I be on the podcast this week? All right. Let us move on from this. Let's get into events, happenings, games that are coming up. Kim, why don't you go ahead and read through the games coming up this week?
All right. The games that are coming up for May 14th through May 20th are Homefront: The Revolution for Xbox One, PS4, and PC, May 17th. Anybody going to get that one?
Can I just say real quickly, I was completely turned off to this during the beta. And then I saw some recent gameplay. A Eurogamer did like an hour gameplay, and I was like, this actually maybe kind of. And then I saw more reviews, and it's gone back south again.
I didn't even realize it was out so soon. I
hope it's decent.
It looked a lot better than the beta. Now, granted, it was a beta, so I expect it to improve. But it looked so bad in the beta, and it played really bad, that I just was so just like, this game is going to be horrible. But then, after watching Eurogamer, I was kind of like, well, maybe, he's having fun with it. And the fact that he was able to play it solo because in the beta you had to co-op with people, and that screwed you because most of the time the co-op people didn't coordinate, and they would, you know, leave you dying in the streets, and, you know, and then when you died in the co-op portion of it, you were just sitting there watching the corner of the street because your camera angle was pointed at, you know, the sidewalk. Yeah, I don't know. Just maybe it might be okay. I don't think it's going to be fantastic, but maybe it's okay. All right, continue.
Alrighty, Life Goes On, Done to Death for the PS4 and PC, May 17th. My Night Job for the PS4, May 17th. Have a game about that? Anyway. Shadow of the Beast for the PS4, May 17th.
This looks quite interesting, and it's quite cheap as well. This might be a good game, Shadow of the Beast.
I'll be done.
Chicken Dance. Da-na-na-na-na.
No, see, that was code for let's talk about the chat when we're done.
Yeah,
because there's lots of people in here.
We should,
and we're going to talk about a Welsh game next. So Kim, carry on about the Welsh game now.
I will. I'll do that. We have Shadwin for the PS4 and the PC, yeah. May 17th.
Shadwin.
See, I thought when you said a Welsh game, it was this next one.
Soft Body for the PS4 and PC, May 17th. I don't even want to know what that one's about. I got ideas. Valkyria Chronicles Remastered for the PS4 on the 17th. Deskers for the PC on May 18th. And Last Fight for the PC on May 19th. And that is your games for the coming week.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that, Kim.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about playdates, things going on. Robin, you've been keeping up on the racing. That's your one job, Robin. Your one friggin' job on the podcast.
Okay, thank you. Gives a job. Forza 6. Last week we had a round at Laguna Seca, and the Henwood is storming away with this championship with a few wins there on 132 points.
How are you guys letting him get such a commanding lead?
He's just frigging good.
Can't somebody not that he's, put him in the wall?
Isn't that how racing works? Yeah. Be banned for life with these guys. It's not that the Henwood is the fastest of all of us, but he's bloody consistent and smooth. And he stays on the black stuff, and that's the key thing. So Tequila Slam and Smurftastic are in joint in the championship on 102 points. Wudan is in 85. And just for your information, seeing you mentioned it last week that I wasn't on the list, I'm way back in 7th with 52 points. Right. Look, there's 15 plus of us now. I think there was 16 or 17 on a Wednesday evening. Fantastic. Great fun.
Robin.
So, yeah.
We're disappointed with your 7th place right now. We expect better from you, sir.
There was some very bad action around Laguna this time, and in fact, to the point that yesterday or day before yesterday, warnings were given out by Chris for some very, very bad driving.
Uh-oh.
And out of the three races, two of the races, I was punted off in the first lap on both times, and I had to fight my way back up from the back of the
field. Oh, okay. You were punted off. When you say punted off, is this similar to like knocking a cat over?
Look, my pussy is dead. It's dried up now. My pussy has no juice left in it any longer, and I had to bury my pussy in a field. Don't speak badly of my pussy, please. So I was knocked off the track, and I hold no malice towards anybody else that may have lost control and punted me off, Dorian. And anyway, yes, great fun. The next round is this Wednesday coming, UK time, starts at 9 o'clock. It's on the Lime Rock track, which we don't really know that well, so it'll be chaos and good fun. Contact at the Henwood or at Parsnipnose 3000, bastard, and we'll get you involved.
Make a recommendation, here. Maybe in a future race, maybe you should keep all the tracks secret up until the day of race. And make it a random choice between three tracks so nobody can prep for it. Even Chris Henwood, he wouldn't even be able to prep for it. It would just be a random draw of the track.
See, the problem is we know all the tracks all pretty well. You know,
don't know so. Limrock, apparently, or Lime Rock. So.
Not as much.
It is Lime Rock, by the way, not Limrock.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out.
Said.
All right.
Yeah, Lime Rock. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that's that. Yeah, so it's good fun. And yes, chat, we are still talking about Forza, because it's a good multiplayer game. So,
all right.
Stick it.
Stick it, Chachi.
Hey, there's lots of people in the chat, by the way.
Yeah,
just
let's talk about it. Prontos is in there now talking about playing the PC beta of the Forza game. So he needs to hook up with Richard Webster because he's playing it as well. So a bit of advice for Prontos there.
Very positive things to say about it last week.
Yep.
And it should be noted, I believe, also that Microsoft has finally fixed the frame rate stuff. They've unlocked frame rates. Frame rates. I'm perfectly sober. And G-Sync, V-Sync, I think, is now all enabled. So PC gamers should be a little bit happier. Is that what your third power energy drink now? Anyway, go back to the chat. So Prontos in there talking up Forza 6.
Yo, Serbs is in there. DJ Jackson 7581. What a great name. He's going, USA, USA. Yeah, okay. Yep, he's a Trump supporter.
Okay with that. what are you showing me, Mark? What are you showing me? Is that Elmo? I don't know, but that's something.
If someone's put on the bottom, can't tell the difference.
Oh,
yeah, well, it's on my screen, so there's a picture of Greg, and there was a Muppet underneath it, and I had to take a photo.
That's probably accurate.
There you go.
Side job is Sesame Street. I admit it.
Yeah, lots of chatting going on. That's really nice. And DJ Jackson, welcome to the podcast chat. And Serbs, nice to see you back again. Tuning in there. And Prawn Toast is in there. It's so wonderful. And Jason, oh, it's just fantastic. The love. I love the love.
All right.
Am I going too far?
Pretty much. Speaking of love, Mark, why don't we go through victories achieved? Talk to me about this. What is this? It's important for us to know about it because... Why?
Because you can win some monies when you complete a game. When the credits are rolling on your TV screen, take a selfie with the credits in the background or the achievement to prove you've completed the game. And if you tweet that to @g4te.com, that's spell the dot, so it's g4te.com on the old Twitter sphere, you can be entered into a prize draw and you can win $20. For PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. And if you use Greg's wonderful powers of deduction, that's £15. Deduct 5.
It's always subtract 5.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And the people who have done Victories Achieved this week are John Mouse, who's finished Party Hard.
Party Hard!
Not heard of that game.
Party Hard! It's so good.
Natras79, who's finished the Division story. And I think Natras79 should get an extra point for completing the marriage proposal because he got married today.
Oh, congratulations, Natras. Yes.
Congratulations.
You've officially joined the club.
Jesus Christ, I was his best man. Fuck.
Yeah, you were at that motorbike race, you're thinking, I'm sure I had to be somewhere else.
Congratulations. Congratulations, sir.
Caliber and M.
I hope he's listening about now.
Caliber and M's really gunning for the lead on Amras, isn't he? He's completed another game this week, Fallout New Vegas, Old World Blues. Is that DLC? Mm. Is that a half point then, Robin, or is that a full point? Is
it No, it takes about 9 hours to complete, it's full point.
Well done, yep. Pilch Reed, who was on the boss with last week, nice to hear Pilch Reed. He's completed Dying Light, and Kyle Adams, an old friend, listener of ours, who's been listening for a long time, and good buddy, he's finished Letter Quest Grimm's Journey. So he's beat you to it, Kim.
He's
beat Scrabble.
And believe it or not, that's about 9 hours to complete as well, Letter Quest game.
See?
Oh. It's a real game, mommy, honestly.
Yes, and to carry on with this, the good feeling you get from beating these games and potentially winning space bucks to spend on more video games, There's also this thing that we call the completion chart, which basically is Robin's own self-punishment. He's basically pledging for every game finished. He is assigning point values based on the amount of hours it takes to finish that game.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Loosely translated, he's just trying to screw Gary Amras. Or Gary Lever, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, every point equals a dollar or a pound. Is it a pound or a dollar? That's actually a question.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
It is a dollar.
He's made the dollars because it'll save him a bit of money. He's not daft. He's not daft.
No, he's not. So for
it's
each
Ugandan
point,
dollars as well.
Ugandan, yeah. So basically at this point, he owes 15 cents. No, for every point, he is donating a dollar in the upcoming Extra Life charity event. So right now, through all of the efforts since we started tracking this, Robin, you now owe a total of $152.
Yeah, it slowed off. So get your butts in the gear and start completing games. I know the weather's good, but that's no excuse. No. Darken your rooms, get in and complete your games. Make money for those little smelly kids to help their stay in hospital better.
Lighten your skin and complete some games. All right.
Yep.
All right. And it should be noted, Amras89 continues to lead the pack. He's got 24 points so far. Caliber and M, though, on his heels, 18 points. Yeah, not that far behind. Gary clearly is going to hit a Steam sale soon, and he'll play a bunch of nonsense. All right. If you are listening to the show and you want to be part of the conversation, we highly encourage you join us every Saturday. We broadcast 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. UK, and you can catch us on live.g4te.com, or if you're on Twitch, just go to the G4TE community channel on Twitch, and you can watch us live. You can always email the podcast if you like. We have an email address, podcast@g4te.com. You can tweet us. We have a Twitter, @OC_podcast. We have a Facebook group, fb.g4te.com. So you can do that thing because Facebook is a thing that we still like to do. Of course, any kind of reviews, iTunes, Stitcher, we always welcome those. Even YouTube reviews. You know, the more likes we can get, the more potentially discovery we have with other people. On that note, I'm going to toss this over to Robin. Why don't you start us off this week?
What?
Shout outs, Robin. Closing the show.
Oh, shout outs. Yes. Sorry, I think I'm coming off my, yeah, my trip. I'm about to clap. Shout outs, well, Team Natris. Oh! I hope he's listening to the podcast right now and not shagging his wife. Sorry.
Robin, that will only take him 2 minutes. He'll be done with that on to listen to the podcast.
If Team Natris is shagging Natris's wife, he won't be very happy because that would Pilch Reed.
Definitely not. Yeah, that's Pilch Reed. Yeah. Well, it's nice to know now that Richard is Iron Balls McGinty. So we've heard enough about his ghoulies over the last while. But congratulations, sir. I hope you are very happy together and have many, many, many years of fun. No more little napses, but many more years of fun. And that's a fantastic thing that you've made an honest woman of her. I want to shout out to you guys. This has been really fun tonight. I don't know, maybe it was only for me, but it's been lots of fun for me.
It started off on the right note, didn't it?
I'm being the selfish son of a bitch that I am. I'm only concerned about me. So thanks very much. It's been great to be back on again. And thanks very much, all the people that were in the chat. It's always good to have a bit of fun with you. And I'll see you when I crash from too much energy drink and get some sleep and then get back
10 minutes
here
from
again.
Now. 10 minutes from now, Robin is going to be face down in his computer.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce upstairs and tap Judith on the shoulder and go,
right.
Anyway, Deadpool, it's the worst game you can all never buy but should. Over to Kim.
All
right. That's a nice Batman t-shirt, Kim.
Thank you.
I can't stop looking at your bats.
You say baps or bats?
I said bats.
Well, alrighty then. I wanna thank you guys. You know, fun as always. I wanna thank the people in the chat for you know keeping us entertained and listening to this shit and watching us. So thanks for that. And I wanna congratulate Mattress and his new missus. Many happies. So, how about you, Mark?
I want to shout out Richard Natras and Becky Strong, who today became Mr. and Mrs. Natras. So congratulations, guys. I hope you have many, many years of happiness. Like Robin says, there'll be no more little mini Natrases because he's had his balls cut off. He's been neutered by the vets. I hope you have many years of happiness. Marriage, it doesn't work for everyone, but for some people, like myself, it's working, and I've got 20-odd years under my belt, and it's the best thing I've ever done, and I hope the guys have the same for them. That's me waffling on. Over to you, Greg.
That is you waffling on, yes. I will say, Natras, congratulations. It now will not come off. It's on there permanently. It is your banner now. Congratulations to you and the missus. I would like a special shout out to Nicole. Nicole was I shouldn't say big, but she was a Nashville Predators fan, and they were playing the Sharks, and she got all excited because they tied the series up and they went to game 7. And at this point, Mark, if you had the soundboard, I would be asking you to play some Jaws music because the Predators literally were taken to town by –
Yeah. Oh God, is this
my San Jose Sharks? Yes.
I have no sounds this week. My soundboard's not working.
My Sharks going on to the next round. I'm excited. I think they've got a good shot at going to the Stanley Cup. I'm gonna say.
I have to disagree with you. I think the Blues are gonna kick their ass.
Hey Mark, let's politely laugh. Americans of sport.
I want to shout out the community. Thank you all for listening. We have a lot of fun doing this, but we obviously do it with the notion of you in mind. So without you, this is just it would still be fun. Who am I kidding? I want to shout out the three of you on the podcast right now. Kim, Mark.
You're the boss, man. You're the boss.
No, thank you. I think really that's it. I can't say any more other than thanking my wife for tolerating me mid-afternoon, cutting the entire day in half to make the podcast. She gets special mentions and probably a back massage. Just saying.
It's the least you could do.
It's the least I can do. All right, that's it. We are done. We're out of here. We would have music, except for Mark totally fumbled this week, screwed the pooch, completely let us all down. We're so disappointed.
Well, I heard Kim was going to sing.
Not even drunk.
Not even drunk.
Robin's
not
gonna
even
sing.
Drunk.
Robin has kind of been singing a little bit. It's flying high right now. And still to this, it's like the whole house.
I know. It's
like getting ready to slide right off the mountain. All right. That's it. We're done. We are leaving now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week. That was good fun tonight. Sorry, guys. I was hyper Rob. This is a nice Batman t-shirt.
Well, thank you.
Batman. I'm Batman. Right. This is
Why were you eating ice cream if it was so cold, by the way?
It's never too cold for ice cream.
You can eat ice cream anytime.
Bullshit.
No.
The sun was shining.
When it is cold, like if it's snowing, I don't think you're outside eating ice cream. I'm just throwing that
outside.
There.
No,
that is too cold to eat ice cream.
And I can confirm that the Edge 7 S7 is waterproof. It is waterproof because I got it soaked today. So
right. I will go to bed. I will stick the headphones in my ears and I will put on the Hunt for Red October and I will be asleep before they start speaking English.
if you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.